We then ask, what can we do? And let me tell you, first of all, my years of the priesthood, I look around and I see if there's anybody older than me. I feel safe. So just in terms of longevity, and then my priesthood, and then my immersion in the work for the church. Thank God most people don't realize how deep are these errors and how they have penetrated nominally Catholic circles. What's the remedy? There's only one. This needs to be said. The remedy is Jesus Christ present on earth. That's why he's here. The Encyclical Mysterium Fidei. I don't know how far we got. Did we get very far in the last class on Mysterium Fidei? I didn't think we did. I'm repeating some things we've said, but these subjects you're never really repeating because there's always something new you will add. But however, I want to get into Mysterium Fidei. The Encyclical Mysterium Fidei that I've asked all of you to get a copy of. This encyclical. I've asked all of you to read it. Please do. It urges the Catholic faithful. That's Paul the Sixth. It urges the Catholic faithful to worship our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament is our principal source of light and strength. The principal source of our light and strength on earth is the Holy Eucharist. That's Pope Paul the Sixth. Could you put some light on over there? Is there a light there? Any more lights?
Good Father, thank you.
Is that, can you see? It is no exaggeration to say that Pope Paul the Sixth will go down in history as the Pope of two documents, Humanae Vitae. What's Humanae Vitae about? Against contraception. And Mysterium Fidei. Real presence. In Humanae Vitae, Pope Paul the Sixth recalled the Catholic world to the basic moral principles in the practice of chastity. I was in Detroit, by the way, when the Pope came out with the encyclical. I was teaching that summer at Marygrove on Six Mile Road. I got a call from Bishop Zaleski, you may remember the name, some of you, in Lansing. He called me up and he said, you know, Humanae Vitae just came out, we're in trouble. I said, I know. The document came out and immediately some 125 theologians in Washington signed a document at Catholic University led by Charles Curran protesting the encyclical. Can you help? So he immediately sent me a copy of the Porter's document, all the things which they attacked into Manivita. Would you please send me as soon as you can a rebuttal to these objections to Manivita? So I spent, I'm not exaggerating, one whole night just typing all night on the next day, then part of the next night, and then sent. And if you could remind me, if I could find a copy, you pay for the Xeroxing, which, Danny, would you remind me to try to find a copy of what Bishop Zaleski was then in charge of the doctrinal division of the Bishop's Conference. Every bishop in the country got a copy of the answers to those objections to Humani Vitae. Well, in Humani Vitae, the Pope pointed out that it is especially the revealed virtue of chastity which must be practiced if marriage and the family and, in fact, human society are to survive. Let me repeat it. Pope Paul VI declared, it is especially the revealed, get it, revealed virtue of chastity, which must be practiced if marriage and the family and even human society are to survive. Whoever associates chastity with the survival of American society. That's why no figure of speech, no exaggeration, the days of America are numbered. There's no way, no way, as a nation we can survive unless somebody has the sanity to realize that the widespread sex mania in our country is destroying our nation. Okay. So much for Humani Vitae. But the two are connected. In Mysterium Fidei, Paul VI provided the means for doing this. What are these means? And how this needs to be said. You talk this way to some people, they think you're, you know, kind of a weirdo. Here's what Paul VI said. How can, remember, he's saying, the two are connected. Am I clear? The two are connected. Humani Vitae and Mysterium Fidei. Humani Vitae says, you cannot preserve a society in which chastity is not observed. How many people nowadays bother getting even married? They marry to remain faithful. And they want children. And the widespread sodomy, which is, talk about the devil having his own vocabulary. The gay movement, they're not gay at all. I know some, trying to help some. Very unhappy people. How do you cope with this? Said Paul VI, by renewed faith in the real presence. And that is a formal, explicit assignment that I received from the Vicar of Christ through his secretary. That's why we're having these classes. Okay? And as a consequence, once we restore our faith for those who have lost it, or strengthen the faith for those who have it, in the real presence, then we have access to the divine power which only Christ possesses. And he has to work miracles. And I mean miracles today and in Detroit. Miracles. I told you, sisters, once in the Bronx when I was giving a morning conference to the sisters, whatever the subject was, I asked just casually, but what percentage of the families that you serve in that part of the Bronx would you say that the children are the children of married, of a married couple? What percentage? He said, most 10%. 90% of the children born out of wedlock. Well, what chance do those children have? They don't even know what marriage means. Paul the Sixth, then, in Mysterium Fidei, could not have been plainer. And I don't know the exact pages from which that's taken, but no one can, this is what the Pope is saying, no one can cope with the problems besetting modern society, especially in super developed countries, and we might add, like our own. Without grace that comes from our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. However, the Pope is saying more than merely that we are to somehow cope or survive. So there are really two messages in Humanae Vitae touching on our subject. The one message is that without a strong devotion to the Holy Eucharist, assisting at Mass, going to Communion, praying before the Blessed Sacrament, we will not have the strength we need to survive ourselves. But he's also saying that if we're going to convert those who have already been bewitched by modern secularism, those who have the faith, speaking to ourselves, we must be extraordinarily holy. Only holy people can provide for the promotion of what you may call the apostolate of re-evangelization that I've been speaking about, some of you, in Ann Arbor. In other words, it's not merely a question of giving speeches, writing more books. And often when I publish something that I've written, I tell myself, I tell our Lord, Lord, I just hope this will do some good. Because it's not the speaking, not the writing. It is the holiness that converts sinners. Only holy people can convert sinners. And the source of our holiness, says Paul the Sixth, is mainly from the grace received from our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And there's no option in today's world. This is the norm, the standard by which you can tell whether a person, first of all, is himself living a good Catholic life, and secondly, how influential will that person be in bringing others either back to Christ or closer to Christ. It will depend on that person's own faith in and devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. And this is not piety, believe me. It's stark reality. What I think I should do, it's 2:30, answer some of the questions, see how far we get. Thank you. And Matthew's around if necessary. There are some left, I think, from last week, I think. Since what I believe affects others in society, shouldn't I refrain from belief and demand to know? Quite sure with the what I believe affects others in society. Should I refrain from belief and demand to know? Not quite sure the point of the question is. Let me guess. Certainly, what we believe does affect society. Who would ever get married unless each of the varying partners believed in the other? Certainly. Now, maybe the question is, should not refrain from belief in things that are not, well, are not true or not proved or provable? Well, yes, but you better know what you're doing. In other words, people have all kinds of ideas. And I think we're such a believing society, so prone to believe anything, that we should demand proof or evidence. Somebody says something, prove it. I don't believe it. If it contradicts what you know is true. If God knows us and all else, why should I pray? Oh. Did we touch on this the last time? We don't pray to inform God. We pray to humble ourselves before God. That's why we genuflect. That's why we bend the knee. The bending of the knee is only the external symbol of bending the mind in faith and bending the will in obedience. No. We don't tell God anything. But he wants us to admit that we're helpless. That we need help. How, when I don't believe, do I know I'm growing in belief? Well, again, not quite sure of the meaning of the question. I presume, just I want to presume, and those attending classes here do have the Catholic faith. And consequently, that a person does believe everything which the Catholic Church teaches is necessary for salvation. Now, it may be that a person has difficulties against the faith. No problem. 1,000 difficulties don't make a single doubt. So how do I know if I am growing in the faith? You're growing in your understanding of what you believe. And the more educated a person is, the more their mind must grow in the faith. Otherwise, they're going to discard the faith as a remnant of childhood. Please announce for the Oakland County residents election for prosecuting attorney Thompson against euthanasia and abortion. A man by the name of Kaplan is pro-euthanasia and pro-abortion. It'll be a close race. Yeah. I would say those from Oakland County, and I'm being recorded, should vote for the candidate who is against euthanasia and against abortion. You see how they put us on the defensive? Even have to use the word against. They're against murder. As though murder was not against the law of God. So it's Thompson, prosecuting attorney, should be voted for. I'm happy to make the announcement. What is the proper position on the use of the fetal alpha protein test on pregnant women? Fetal alpha. Is that correct? Fetal alpha protein test on pregnant women. It screens for Down's syndrome and spinal. Is it? Please? Bifida, is that pronunciation? It is given routinely. Now, I presume, I don't know, but I presume it's given in order to find out whether the child might have, is that it? Down syndrome or spinal again?
Bifida.
See? Well, I think those tests are. Can anything be done while the child is in the womb for the child? In other words, is whether an abortion should be had. So they should not be these fetal alpha protein tests on pregnant women should not be taken by pregnant women. You tell the doctor to jump in Lake Michigan. And sometimes, though I won't add, jump in twice and come out once. I just heard a tape on the New World Order, Constance Comby and Mother Angelica. It's fabulous. Baby's copies could be made for us Marian catechists. If you listen to it and approve. Yeah, when I was going to California last week, I was a C-13 and I was sitting down, and right next to me, across from me, was Constance Comby. So we were going to talk well about after the long flight. In about 2 hours, I finished some work I had to do, so then I sat down and talked to Constance Comby. She's straight. I pray for Constance Comby becoming a Catholic. she become a Catholic. From all that I know of her, she's straight. Yes, by all means. Got the tape? I was at Holy Mass, and the priest told a faith story of a Catholic woman who had wanted to be ordained. A priest told her, not in this church, but you can be a nun. She did go to the convent, finally left there, and became an ordained minister. He said, you never know what's going to be on these cards. He said, isn't that wonderful? A wonderful example of listening to God and a true faith journey. Shouldn't I have left it? Shouldn't I have left the consecration? Was valid. Let's see. Priest told. So the priest, it seems, that approved. That's the idea. He approved the idea of a woman leaving the convent, joining another church, is that it? So that she could be ordained. And he said, isn't that a wonderful example of listening to God? Well, what he's doing is just illustrating. I taught my Jesuits for 25 years of theology. My 23rd year in working for the Holy See. I cannot tell you how deeply error has penetrated into the Catholic Church in a country like ours. Deeply penetrated. Somebody has to keep what I call their Catholic sanity. We just cannot trust, sadly, even. What a tragedy. Even bishops. And I'm not far away. That's why we're having these classes. Now, what does the church teach? So that if I'm a Catholic, what do I believe? What do I believe? Listen to a priest saying this. Like that. And the question. So, was the consecration valid? Well, I hope so. But only God knows. If a child is baptized but isn't taught the faith, what happens to the child? Yeah, clearly the child then is not held responsible for what he does not know. Although I would say this, that having been baptized, a child does have the virtue of faith. And that virtue can later on be lost, as we know. That every mortal sin deprives the person of the virtue of faith. But anyone who even doubts, hear it, anyone who even doubts, not to say denies, the real presence, anyone who doubts or denies the real presence has lost his faith. Not just a sin against faith. The virtue is lost, disappears. That person, therefore, supernaturally believes nothing anymore. And these are the people that are often writing books, preaching. My heart goes out to you lay people. I mean it. That's why I'm here. Because I see the widespread error. And I just pray, and of course I'm doing what I can to keep the faith alive. When did the errors Pope Pius X originate historically? Well, of course they go back, you might say, to the beginning of Christianity. But they really began in the 19th century. With the rise of what we call historical criticism of the Bible. In other words, that the Bible is not only to be interpreted privately, which was Luther's error. You don't need the church. But that you can see there are things in the Bible which are contrary to what the church teaches. And there are two names that you should all know. Loisy, a Frenchman, and George Tyrrell, that I mentioned, I think, last week, Tyrrell, Loisy from France, and Tyrrell from England. Loisy was the biblical, quote, scholar, who taught so many things contrary to the church's teaching, and Tyrrell was a Jesuit, converted originally from Anglicanism, and then became a priest, taught, but abandoned his Catholic faith, wrote a shelf of books. It seems that these errors originated by the Jews that did not accept Jesus as God. Now, certainly, most of the Jews during the time of Christ did not accept Jesus as the Messiah. They just didn't. They were never numerous. In the 2,000 years of history before the time of Christ, the Jews were never a numerous people. Well, a certain number did accept Christ. Majority did not. Already in the first three centuries, the persecution of the Christians, though done by the Romans, was in large measure instigated by the Jews of those centuries. They were powerful. And by the year 70, as we know, Jerusalem was destroyed. And the Jewish nation as a nation went out of existence. But Jews as a people remained. I would say the errors, not only among the Jews, but the Jews certainly were one of the contributing factors all the way back. From my experience, speaking to my Jewish friends, they still hold these errors. Well, I've had my share of converts during my 14 year of teaching in New York. I did the best I could to bring some Jews to the Catholic faith. They made wonderful converts. But I can tell you this. The Jews, there wouldn't be as many unbelieving Jews as there are if there were more strongly believing Christians and Catholics. I cannot tell you how pleased they are. I've talked in synagogues. if they know that you are really a bona fide Catholic. They respect you. They really do. If you find a copy in the library, my book on American Judaism, which not all that learned, but is informative. Okay. So, yes, the Jews certainly were, and many are in error. Well, all the Jews are in error in denying the divinity of Christ. What would you tell a Catholic who is allowing her young children to attend a Baptist school? What are the main differences of the Protestant Bible? Well, again, and I'm willing to do this, I don't want to burden you, and I don't want to just pass things around, because that's not the answer. But I have a book called Christianity in Conflict. One chapter is comparing the Catholic and the Protestant Bible. And whatever the cost for the Xeroxing is, the book is out of print. You'd be welcome to copies of that chapter comparing the Catholic and the Protestant Bible. And they are different. So, let me know, or I wouldn't want to just make copies. This is not, however, I think the Xeroxing should be paid for. Okay? So, I suppose the Catholic mother just figures that maybe the Baptist school is better for children than the Catholic school. God knows that the Baptists are not Catholic. And the name Baptist is really a kind of a misnomer, because their original name was Anabaptists. Anabaptists. And they just decided to drop the A and A-N-A and Baptist. That means again, baptize again, because they told the Catholics in the 16th century that infant baptism is useless. So they got themselves, well, quote, rebaptized. A 12-year-old is not taken to Sunday Mass by her parents. She is a friend of my daughter's. Should I butt in, I guess, and see that she gets to Mass? Well, is the 12-year-old a Catholic? Of course, I think if she wants to go to Mass, I mean, if she's a Catholic, she should go to Mass. And I wouldn't say this butting in. If the 12-year-old is a Catholic, she should go to Mass. You're not butting in. Even if she's not a Catholic, sure, bring her to Mass. Good idea. Oh, but pardon me. That is, she sure she goes to the right Mass. Oh, it pains me to say this. Should non-Catholic children be allowed to attend a Catholic school when these children actively talk against the Catholic faith? No. Either that, or they should be told, now look, if you're here in school, don't you criticize the Catholic Church. Now there are, and I think, am I correct, in Jesu, where they have any Protestant children going to Jesu, and they have many converts. Now, I could be mistaken, but I think there's a difference in tuition. If you're a Catholic, am I correct?
Yes.
You're charged less. If you're not a Catholic, you pay more. Which could be a I didn't make the decision. How many books have you written? Could we have a list of them so we can get them all? I wrote 30 books. And you're welcome to. Somewhere, I do have a list somewhere. If, when distributing Holy Communion at a nursing home, a patient throws up, what should be done with the sacred species? Yeah? Cleaned up and buried. Buried into some soft ground. Also, a priest said it is okay to give Holy Communion to anyone at this particular nursing home if they want to receive, even if they are not Catholic. No. That's spelled N-O. If a Catholic marries in a Lutheran church, no dispensation. Later, the Lutheran partner realized the truth of the real presence of Jesus, the Holy Eucharist, and would like to become a Catholic. Can the Catholic spouse return to his Catholic faith? Now, should he return in the first place? Now, may I ask? See, what the marriage should be? Oh, should be, as we say, fixed up. In other words, have the marriage celebrated, they want to, presumably, that they're both free to marry, you see? So, yes. Has the Catholic spouse returned to his Catholic faith? Yes, but my gosh. And bring the Lutheran with you. Provided, I repeat, they're both free to marry. Do you have any copies of the Miracle of Lanciano with you today? Yes. I don't have a copy of the miracle, but I have copies of it. Oh my gosh. Are these more questions? Here. Now, if you've got them, if you already have one, why pass it by? If you don't have any, take one. Oh. Is there a prophecy which is accepted as true in the church that states that at some time in the near future you will be without a pope, but there will be an anti-pope? Never heard of it. What will we need to know in order to identify him, help others not to be deceived? I've never heard that there will not be a true pope, but will be an anti-pope. Are any feelings of affection ever allowed toward anyone other than one's spouse? No, gosh, you're supposed to love everyone. It's how you show your affection. And what kind of affection you have. So, you love everyone, but not everyone in the same way. Mamma mia. Okay, I think this is more personal. I'm not sure these are already have been handled.